Hello and welcome again to Studies in the Gospels, a program that is heard each week at this time here on the Gospel Radio Network. This is a program where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at this time, we are studying those post-resurrection events. And today, we are going to be looking as the guards report to the priest concerning the empty tomb in Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. Let's go there now. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructing. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Because of evidence, there are many things that occur which simply cannot be denied. There are well over 500 people that witnessed the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. In fact, many of these people would suffer greatly because of their testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These truths point toward the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man has devised numerous theories to explain away the empty tomb. The first theory that was propagated concerning the resurrection can be found in our text today. Numerous other false theories have been propagated through the centuries. Because of the great importance of the resurrection, those who oppose Christ are fully aware that the resurrection must be discredited. The excuses offered to explain away the resurrection fall flat in the face of the eyewitness evidence to the contrary. So let's consider this in our text today. There is the theory that the disciples stole the body. This was the theory put forth that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and then claimed that he rose from the dead. This was the official explanation put forth by the Jewish leaders from the very beginning. Go back to our text again, beginning in verse 11. Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's consider the fallacy of this explanation of the chief priest and the elders. If the soldiers were asleep, as we see in verse 13, how did they know it was the disciples that took him? How could the disciples roll away the large stone from the tomb without awakening the guards? The soldiers guarding the tomb were Romans. Matthew 27, beginning in verse 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went away and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. These were professional soldiers. They were veterans. They were to guard that tomb with their lives, and they knew that failure to do so would mean their own death. The punishment for falling asleep at your post was death. This theory would also make the 500 plus people that saw Jesus after the resurrection liars. Even if a few zealous disciples stole the body, such as Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus or the women or even some of the apostles, it would not explain away the testimony of the 500 other people that saw him. Why would all of these people lie or be willing to die for the lie, since it put their lives at risk? What is the chances of a few disciples stealing the body of Jesus right out from under trained Roman soldiers while they were sleeping, which is punishable by death? And so, that is just not a realistic explanation. Now, another theory presented is that they went to the wrong tomb. One theory among skeptics of the resurrection is that they went to the wrong tomb and found it empty. The theory is that as a result, they mistakenly took it that Jesus had risen from the tomb, and that many believed their report. But this theory is very quickly and easily put to sleep. Consider, the women had been to the tomb before. Matthew 27 in verse 61. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting opposite the tomb. The Jewish and Roman leaders could have easily silenced this story if it was true. If the women went to the wrong tomb, then the real tomb would have still been sealed and under guard. The leaders could have pointed to the real tomb when the story began to spread that the apostles were claiming his resurrection. Notice Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." There is also the theory that Jesus swooned and later revived. This is perhaps the most common false teaching concerning the resurrection. These skeptics say that Jesus did not really die upon the cross. They say that he simply passed out from the pain and the shock and blood loss instead of dying. The soldiers thought he was dead and took him and laid him in the tomb. In the cool and rest of the tomb, then Jesus revived and managed to escape out of the tomb and showed himself to the disciples. Supposedly, like Elvis, he had not really died and would live out in obscurity his remaining years. However, this is certainly not the case, because consider the things that Jesus would have had to recover sufficiently to accomplish. He would have had to tear through the burial garments that would have been bound tightly around his body. He would have had to have regained the strength to roll away the door of the tomb in his weakened condition. He would have had to overcome the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb. He would have then had to set out walking to Emmaus, which is said to be about a 7-mile distance, in order to be seen by the two disciples, and then turn and walk to Jerusalem, where he was seen by the disciples all in one, and after all of the damage to his physical body from the scourging and crucifixion and the piercing of his side by the soldiers. The whole purpose of piercing his side was to prove that he was dead. Consider John 19, verses 31 to 34. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The Roman soldiers were thoroughly convinced that Jesus was dead. Pontius Pilate was thoroughly convinced that Jesus was dead. Pilate would have certainly not granted the body of Jesus to Joseph of Arimathea if he was not sure that he had died. The Roman centurion was certainly convinced that Jesus was dead. If this were true, then Jesus and the apostles would all be liars. Let's also notice the false belief that some of the believe the disciples were just hallucinating concerning the resurrection. These folks believe all the post-resurrection appearances were simply the imagination. There is plenty wrong with this supposed theory. For beginners, the Lord did not just appear to single individuals. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, for instance. Consider Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen here there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. But they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was still alive. And certain of them, of those who were here with us, went to see the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered all these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen, indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And of course, then we would have the 10 apostles that claimed to see him. Notice John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. So he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. We recall also that Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Hallucinations do not simultaneously appear to multitudes or groups of people. The disciples were inclined to disbelieve the news of the resurrection at first, not hallucinating for something they were anticipating. Also, there is the false theory that some believe the body was stolen, and then an impostor portrayed himself as Jesus. This would mean the appearances were not really Jesus because someone else was preying upon their fragile mental states. The proponents of this point to the fact that many did not recognize him at first. This is a ridiculous theory. The disciples were reluctant to believe the first resurrection. Thomas is a good example of the doubts they had at first. Who could injure themselves to portray the wounds of Jesus? Just not going to happen. This is how Jesus proved it was him. Consider his next meeting with the disciples when Thomas was with them. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 26. Now after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The apostles had spent 3 years with Jesus. How could they have all been fooled? Jesus performed miraculous works after the resurrection, such as what we read in John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." He suddenly appeared in the locked room. And what about the catching of the fish in John chapter 21? There, notice, beginning in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment. An impostor could not have worked these miracles. Some people believe they mistook someone for Jesus. These folks believe it was all a simple mistake. They believe like when the woman mistook the gardener for Jesus. Notice John 20, verses 14 and 15. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. But again, remember, the disciples took some convincing to believe, especially Thomas. And again, how would you recreate the wounds? Nobody would do that. There were too many sightings and too much time spent with the Lord for a hoax of that nature to occur. Indeed, my friends, the resurrection is undeniably true. The greatest event in the history of man, and verified by over 500 witnesses. The reliability of the eyewitnesses' accounts gives far greater reliability than all of the easily disposed of theories. The words of the apostles and the eyewitnesses lead us to believe the accounts. We close with John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. I want to thank you for joining me. If the Lord wills, we'll be together again next week at this same time as we continue to look at these post-resurrection events. Our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.